I know. So our next Whoa. Guest.
Ghost. Don't kill people.
No.
Okay, that's not
our
right.
Our next guest, April Dunham, is going to show us how to build your own custom connector so you can go from zero to hero. April is one of those extraordinary people who has incredible creativity in how she goes about designing power apps. She makes probably the most beautiful power apps you've ever seen. She actually does this fantastic session on beautifying your power app. So it's like Power Apps Makeover. If you've ever, check out her YouTube channel, April Dunham, and you can see how to make power apps look not like the traditional power apps you're used to. She uses tabs and themes and colors, and she can make them pretty quickly and they can look incredibly impressive. So she can make beautiful power apps, but she can also use custom connectors and be extraordinarily impressive.
That's really cool. Hopefully this session won't be as shocking.
He's still doing it.
As the last
still
one.
Still doing it. Wow. All right, April, we really apologize for these horrible jokes. Over to you.
Remember the cycle.
He's still doing it. thank you so much for joining us, April. Over to you.
Hey, thanks, Seth and Donna. Thanks for having me. So happy to be here. Talk with you all about custom connectors today. So my goal is to take you from zero to hero in custom connectors. For those of you who don't know me, my name is April Dunham. I'm a partner technical architect here at Microsoft. If you've been around in the Power Platform community, you might know me from there for being really involved in the Power Addicts, and I was a Power Apps and Power Automate MVP. If you connect with me, you want to connect with me, you can connect with me on Twitter, at April Dunham, my YouTube, and my LinkedIn. All right. So the agenda for today, I want to talk about first, give you a good understanding of what custom connectors are, and then we'll build on that and talk about some of the use cases and why you might want to use custom connectors in your applications and your flows. Then we'll actually walk through, go into some demo about creating a new custom connector from scratch and how to use that and implement that in an app and a flow. So just diving right in, what is a custom connector? Well, custom connectors are really the building blocks of the Power Platform. It's what enables Power Apps and Power Automate to communicate with a bunch of different services so that it can access data and use that in your apps and your flows. And all it is a wrapper around an API that you define. If you've used Power Apps and Power Automate, you will have noticed that there are over currently 325 different connectors that they share between the two that you can utilize today to different pre-built SaaS applications, all the Office 365 apps like SharePoint and all of those great applications, of course, and then other third-party applications that you can access. What we're seeing here is just the tip of the iceberg of some of the apps that you can connect to with these pre-built connectors that you're seeing. But the problem is, even though 325 seems like a lot of connectors that you can access, there's always going to be a case where there's some other kind of service. Maybe it's an internal legacy system that you need to connect with and use within Power Apps or Power Automate, or some other kind of publicly accessible API that you want to consume. That's not on this list. So that's the gap that we're going to bridge today with custom connectors. So in my opinion, custom connectors are really one of the easiest and most impactful ways that you can extend the Power Platform. Before I joined Microsoft and I did a lot of consulting, I built hundreds of different Power Apps applications. And one of the most common use cases that I saw for a need to extend the stack was to be able to connect to these other systems or services. So Power Platform custom connectors are a great resource for that. It allows you to bring in that data from your public and even private APIs into the Power Platform so that your app makers and flow makers can use and consume that. Another great use case for this that you might not even think of is to extend and consolidate some of those 325 different pre-built connectors that we talked about. I've ran into this to one of my customers before. They really wanted to use the ServiceNow connector, for example, in one of their Power Apps. But some of these connectors, they don't expose everything that the API can do to you in the connector. So that's a great use case to go in and build a custom connector to bring in that functionality that might not be there in the pre-built connector. Now, if you have used the Power Platform before, specifically if you've used Power Automate, you might be wondering your next logical question. Well, if a custom connector is just a wrapper around an API to let me make calls to the endpoint, well, why can't I just use an HTTP request for that? And that's a great question that we want to address today. The first thing that I'm going to say about that is simplicity. When we are building solutions and extending the platform, the end goal is to make it easier for our business users, our app makers and flow makers to consume the data. So by building a custom connector, you're making that easier on those users, because we really can't expect that our traditional end users would know all the ins and outs of calling an API, knowing what get, post, and put, and all of those details means. So a custom connector, though, they're very familiar with if they're in there every day building apps and flows. They know how to go in and add a connector and do things with that. So you're going to make their life much more simple. Another one is reusability. So you can build these custom connectors, and you build it once, and you can use these in Power Apps and Power Automate. Another is unnecessary overhead. There's not a native way in Power Apps, for example, to directly connect to an HTTP request, to an API to make an HTTP request. So you have to use Power Automate for that. So if you need to consume that in your Power Apps application, you're going in and having to make a Power Automate call to do that and then return the data back, which could lead to some unnecessary complexity to your business process that you could avoid with a custom connector. And finally, better logging and analytics. So when if you're relying on HTTP requests to call data and get it from your API, you don't really have a way to monitor and track that, like where it's being used and how it's being used. But with the Power Platform Admin Center, you can monitor and track the usage of your connectors across Power Apps and Power Automate. So you're going to have much better logging and analytics from that standpoint. So now you're probably wondering, well, what APIs can I create a connector to? The beauty of this is these connectors for Power Apps and Power Automate work with any RESTful API. If you are using Logic Apps, those can connect to SOAP APIs as well. So this can be APIs from public services like Spotify, Yelp, NASA, and that's actually what I'm going to be demoing for you all today. This can be from public APIs that you manage, Azure Functions, web apps, APIs, which we saw and we'll see some great sessions about custom connectors with Azure Functions. And this can also be private APIs. And this is a thing that I know a lot of people don't even realize that you can do in Power Platform, because it is a cloud service. So you think you can only connect to other cloud applications, but there's a thing called the on-prem data gateway, which allows you to connect to your internal behind the firewall systems. So therefore you can connect to your private APIs that way. All right, so now we have a good understanding of what a connector is and why you might want to use it and which types of APIs that we can use. Now let's talk about, if you're wanting to use custom connectors, how can we secure that API and what security authentication methods are available to us? So custom connectors, first, they support generic OAuth 2.0. They also support OAuth 2.0 from different third-party services like Azure AD, GitHub, Dropbox. Basic auth is supported, and API keys are also supported. Now that we have a good foundational level understanding, let's talk about when you're building the connector, how do you describe the API so that the connector can consume it? Connectors support OpenAPI 2.0, AKA Swagger files. So you can import those or link to those from a URL. They also support Postman collections. So you can, that's a great way to easily create a custom connector, because I know I like to test my API calls and all of that in Postman before doing anything else, just to make sure it works and the authentication works. So being able to just export that to a collection and then import that into the connector makes it very simple. And then the other option, you can actually just create a new connector from scratch with the custom connector portal. And actually that's how I'm going to be showing you today how to create a new connector. All right, last slide before we get into the demo here. The components of a connector when we're building this that you'll see when we get to the demo. First, you need to give it the information about the connector itself. So this is really important. You want to make sure you have a really relevant name, logo, and description so that when your app makers and flow makers are wanting to use this in their applications, they know what this connector is going to do for them. Then you have your actions. This is where the bulk of the building of the connector will be. That's where you define your endpoints and their visibility and the headers and the definitions. Then you have the triggers, which are the timed or event-driven webhook actions. You have references, which are reusable input and output objects. And then you can also define policies or templates for modifying the runtime behavior. All right, so with that, we're going to switch over to a demo. And before I get started showing you how to actually build the connector itself, I want to talk about the use case. So what's bringing us here for, you know, giving us the need to have to build a custom connector? So in our business here, we have one of our app makers in the sales department that has created a power app that you're seeing here on the screen to help manage customer and contact information. Now, the power app works great and it's usable, but the problem is when they go in to add a new contact, they really need to track a lot of information about this user. And you know, their employees and their salespeople really don't have a lot of time on their hands to be manually filling out this person's name, their time zone, their location, all this, their company information, right? So they came to our developers wanting to know, how can we make this easier on our end users to possibly pre-populate all of this information for us? So that's the use case that we're trying to solve. Now, I happen to know about an API that's publicly accessible out there that we can use to do this called the Clearbit API. So what I'm going to be walking you through today is how to create a custom connector to the employee lookup functionality of this, which will allow us to just put in an email address of a contact, and it will automatically populate all of that information in our app for us. So all I did is went out to the Clearbit API and signed up for their program, got our API keys and all of that, looked at the documentation to get a good understanding of what the API itself is doing. I said that I always like to start with Postman when I'm working with this because I like to test my API calls, make sure that I have the authorization and everything formatted correctly. So that's what I did here. I've just made a connection to this employee lookup API call, and I've ran a quick test, passed it in some dummy information, and I looked to see and verified that it's returning the information successfully and that it has everything that I'm going to need for our application. Now it's time to actually build the custom connector. There are two options that you have for building connectors. You can either do it through Power Automate or Power Apps. There's places where you can build custom connectors from either one of those, and the custom connector that you build is the same no matter which program you create it in. Let's look at Power Apps, and I'm going to go in there and we'll see how to create a custom connector. So from the Power Apps landing screen, you'll see a tab for data on the left-hand side. And in there, you'll have an option for custom connectors. You'll be taken here and you'll see all the connectors that you already have created in your environment. If you want to create a new connector, just select the new connector option in the upper right-hand side. And this is where you'll see all the different options that you can use to create a new custom connector in the Power Platform. So as you can see, I could import directly from a Postman collection here if I wanted to. And for the Open API, I can either upload a Swagger file or link it from a URL. But what we're going to do, just so we can see the true experience of building a custom connector, is we're going to start from blank. First thing we need to do is give it a name. So I'm going to give it the name of my API that I'm calling. Click Continue. Now, this is the information section that we talked about. What's really important here is you want to make sure that you're uploading an icon, because that will really help the user when they're looking through the list of connectors kind of know off quickly offhand what this connector is to. So you just upload your icon there. You can see it on there on the screen. You also have the ability to define custom background color for this if you would like, so it's not gray, so it's white and looks a little bit better. And then you can, of course, give it a description. Description is very important too. So when your users are looking at this, trying to decide if this is going to help them solve their problem, the description is what's going to give them some more information. Okay. So I've just populated that with a description there. Then you define your scheme. So is this an HTTPS or HTTP call? And now we go into the host. So this is the API that we're going to call. So we're going to put in that here. Notice that in the help text here, it says you don't put in the HTTPS. So just put in that bit of the information there. So I just got that from our Clearbit API. And now let's go proceed to the security section. Now this is where we define our authentication type. For demo purposes, I'm just going to use the API key since our Clearbit API supports that. When you do this, there's three different properties that we need to configure for the API key authentication type. The first is the parameter label. So with connectors, when users log in to use the application, they create a connector to that. When they create the connector, it's going to prompt them to put in information here to authenticate. So what this is going to do is the parameter label is going to prompt them for the input. So we want to make sure it's relevant. So we're going to call this parameter label API key so that the user connecting knows that they need to put in an API key here. Then we give the parameter name itself. So this is what the header parameter is in your API, which is going to be authorization. And then next, we just define the header, the parameter location, which will be the header. Right? So we have our API key authentication type, a clear label for our end users, the parameter name, and the location. So now it's time to move on to the definition. Here are the different sections that we talked about. So the one that we'll be focusing on today that's the most important is the action section. So first thing we need to do is go in and create a new action to call our API. So we're going to give this action a summary and a description. So just so that the user using this knows what it's going to do. So get person info, give a little description. And then now we just need our operation ID from our API call, which for the ClearView API is just people. The visibility section down here is important because this is what determines the properties from our API, how they show up specifically in Power Automate. So if you're in Power Automate, you might notice when you click into a field and you see that dynamic content, there's some properties that show up automatically and then some that you have to click see more for, or you have to click show advanced options for. So those settings are defined here. So if you want these properties from your API to always show there, then you'll select the important option. And then you also have the option for making these properties internal. In advanced will be they'll show, but you have to click see more or show advanced. I'm just going to switch that to important. Okay, so now we have our general operation ID. Now we need to define the request. So what I'll do is I'll click import from sample. And for this API call, if we recall from Postman, it's just doing a GET request. So we want to switch that property to GET. And then we'll just paste in the URL from our call and import that. And you'll see when we do, it automatically fills out all this information from us. So this is a GET request. Here is the endpoint that we're going to call. And here are our required properties. So it automatically was able to tell that we need to require an email. And we have the ability to go in and additionally configure these. So I can go into the email, click edit, and I can give a detailed description and then define if it's required. So it didn't pick up, for example, that I need this property to be required. So I'm going to switch that to yes. And we'll go back. And notice when I do that, we have a red asterisk letting us know that this is a required field. Right. Now we have our response section. So we can fill this in with a default response. So what I'll do is I'll go into our Postman collection, and I'll just copy the default response that we have here from our tests that we ran and paste that into the body and then select import so that it will know the response that is expected. Now, if I click within the default response, you see it has our body filled out for us. And again, I can see all the properties that are going to be returned for me from the API and make any modifications to this if I need to. Let's just go back, scroll down. So that's honestly all that we need to do to get this custom connector working to return the information about a person when we pass in the email address. It's really just that simple in this case. So what we want to do now is we'll go back and we're going to create this connector. As before we can test this, we want to create the connector itself. And while that's creating, you see it's pretty fast. So it created successfully. I have my Clearbit V2 connector. Now I can go in and test it. So before you start trying to use this in your apps or your flows, test it here first. It'll save you a lot of headache. To test it, you need to first define a connection to the connector itself. So we can do that directly from the test panel by clicking New Connection. And this is where it'll ask for that API key for the user. So that was the label that we defined. And here's the authorization API key that we'll put in. So we'll click Create, and that will create a new connector. When you do that, it does take you back to this connections screen in Power Apps in this case, where you can see all the connections that you have. So you will need to go back in after you initially create that to your custom connectors tab, find your connector and click edit and go back to that test panel so we continue and continue trying to test. So here was my input that we defined for the email, which is required. So what we can do is just put in an email to test. Run a test operation. I can see that's great news. We got a 200. That means it was successful. I can look at the body, make sure that the information is being returned as correct, which it looks great. And our validation succeeded. So really here in just a couple minutes, we have a completely ready and usable custom connector for our app makers. Something I'll point out before we move on to showing how to use this in the app itself. You can always switch to Swagger Editor and edit this in Swagger if you'd prefer, right? Okay, so that's exciting. We have our custom connector. Now let's see how we can use this in our app. So from this point, our app makers can really take it and run with it. So I have the app that our sales member created, our customer success app, open in edit mode. If they want to use our new connector, all they have to do is go into data sources, add a data source, and search for Clearbit. So we see our Clearbit V2 connector that we just created. That's going to add the connector into our app. And now we'll just go to where we need to consume the information. So on our new contact screen, what I want to have happen is I enter in an email here. I click the check button. And when I click that, I want it to go call our Clearbit API and return all of that information to me about that particular person. So we have an icon here. If we go to its onSelect property, you'll see that we can just use some global variables in Power Apps. And we're going to have two different ones, one for person info and one for company info. And that's just because the way that the API is structured. So you can see we have the person information that has a subset of properties, and then we have another subset of that, which is company information. So we're just to call our API, you just type the name of the connector that we created. And then if you do a dot, let's just delete this real quick. So we'll do V2 in this case. You'll see that it has built-in IntelliSense. So just like we're used to in Visual Studio, we have that rich IntelliSense. So I can do a dot people. And it's telling me that it's expecting an email address, so I can fill that in. Point it to my text box, the text value of that, and do a dot, and then I can get the person object information directly from that. It's really as simple as that. That's all that I need to do to call this API in my application. So I've set that into two global variables. Now, if I look at the app itself, I have a bunch of labels in here to show the information to the user. So all I'm doing is I'm calling that global variable of the person info, and I can just keep doing dots so I can get the different properties that I would want to use in this and mapping all of those accordingly. So let's just test this out. Let's see how it works. Let's see what this can tell us about Satya. Awesome. So there you go. You see that it returned the company information and all the information that we need to know about Satya. It's pretty cool. All right. And we can come back in and just to prove that it works for anyone, or just going to do another test. I could type correctly, that would be great. And there's the company information, the information about myself. So that's how we can do that in Power Apps, but you can see we can also use the same connector in Power Automate. So I could have a flow, for example, that's triggered by a button click where all I do is require an email address. I can add in an action to our Clearbit API, which I did there. Pass it in the email address from our trigger and have it create an item in a SharePoint list, for example. So just to show you how that would work, we'll just run a quick test. And it will put in an email address. Click run, and within a second there, we have a flow that we can save a contact without having, with only requiring the email address. Pretty cool. So there's the SharePoint list with the contacts. So I see my name, email, and job title filled out. All right. So going back to the slides real quick, I want to leave you with some homework. So as to quote Donna, now I want you to do the thing. So first thing I want you to do is to go out and get a Power Apps community plan. Now, these custom connectors are premium functionality with the Power Platform, so it does require some additional licensing. But if you go out and sign up for this community plan, which there's a link to right here, you can test out custom connectors for free. Then I want you to find an API that you want to integrate within the Power Platform. Then just go out, build the connector, because as we saw, it's really intuitive and straightforward to do. I want you to use that in your Power Apps and Power Automate. And I want you to share with me how it went and what you built with at April Dunham on Twitter. I'll be around on DevTube after this to answer any questions in chat. So please join me there. Thanks, everyone.